I call the City of Franklin's Common Council to order. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Olson.
Here.
Alderman Solomon.
Here.
Alderman Mulhill.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
I'm here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderman Stern.
Here.
Please rise to
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next item on the agenda is citizens' comment period. Are there any citizens wishing to speak? Yes, sir. If you could please state your name and address for the record.
Leroy Levandusky, 830 West Winston Way. I want to talk about this Quick Trip facility that's going in. And it appears that the facility is only is short 41% of the parking requirements space. The Masons were short 36 on their property. The hotel, I understand, is 69 parking spaces that are short. And it seems that the planning department has jurisdiction to go ahead and approve of all these changes. My suggestion is, it seems like there's no sense in having any restrictions at all. Just forget about it and have take pot luck. If somebody wants to put only 10 spaces, that's great. Then they're going to lose business if they need more space. But we keep coming in here, and the documents say they're 41% short. Like I said, the Masons are 36 parking lots short. This hotel, well, the last time I heard it was 69. So there's no sense in even having any regulations. I suggest that we remove that. The other thing I wanted to suggest is that the quarry committee seems to be having a problem getting going a little bit here. And I'd like to bring up the fact that a lot of people do like to complain about the dust. They like to complain about blasting, and nothing seems to be accomplished by this process. And everybody should write a complaint or email a complaint or call it in. I suggest that we put cameras up there so we can check on these trucks that don't stop or cut off people or the dust is created coming out of these quarries. If we put a video camera up there, which those posts are all belong to the city, not the county, we can find out what's going on and we can fine them at least for creating a dust storm and violating the traffic law. Because the police station or the police department, when I talked to them the last time, one of the officers told me that it's up to the city to do something about it. They will do what the city wants them to do, but right now we're a stalemate. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Is there anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Not? We'll close the citizens' comment period and turn to... I'm losing my voice, so... Announcements. Just as a letter of information regarding Walk County EMS system, Ron Perello. I don't know if any of you know him, but he was really instrumental in the creation, maintenance, and success of the EMS paramedic system. I was able to work with him in the past. It's a very large loss for the whole community. So I thought you should be aware. Although I'm sure they have some pretty good people that work alongside of him, and also have the medical college that provides assistance and advice. So with that, unless there's a question, turn to the December 18th, 2012 regular meeting minutes.
So moved.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. I think I'm going to, if there's no objection, I'd like to take the police department out of order so that I know that the chief and Gaylord have already put in quite a few hours today. So I'm wondering if the police chief could come forward. And I asked the chief. We've had a couple conversations about since the shooting in the elementary school about things that have, that the relationship between the police department and the school district, and as you're all aware, we've had bomb scares at the high school, and we've had some threats in the past at our school system. Both our EMTs, paramedics, and police officers, SWAT teams have responded in the past. When they get the calls and the dispatchers get the calls, they have no idea one way or another if those are prank calls or if it's a real situation. And so I know I was over there that the time when you caught the kid that was writing on the bathroom stalls and stuff. But our police officers and our fire personnel take all of this very, very seriously, and they got the kids out in a safe manner. They combed the school, and they do this on a repeated basis, but, you know, the public, most of the public is working during the day. They don't see all of the efforts of our police department and our fire department, but they're out there. I know that I'm not telling the council anything new, but they're working all the time and trying to make Franklin a safer and safer place. So I asked the chief to come in today and maybe talk a little bit about where we are and meetings that we've had since the elementary shooting and potential meetings. I think we have one for Thursday coming up with the school district. So, Chief Oliva.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening. I'll start by saying that I am very confident that our police department is well trained and well equipped to address critical incidences such as we've seen at Sandy Hook, Oak Creek, around here. In fact, a lot of our department, including myself, did respond to the Oak Creek Sikh shooting, and we were integral in responding to that and resolving that incident. Our department has trained often in active shooter training over the last several years, actually many years. It was really a response to the wake-up call from the massacre in Columbine, where public safety agencies, police departments, saw a need for a pretty dramatic shift in protocol and response to those types of shootings. Since then, we trained our officers to be able to proactively engage armed suspects in situations like a school setting. And again, I believe our department personnel are well trained and equipped to do that. We've also received briefings and training in the other mass shootings that have occurred across the country, like the Virginia Tech shooting, Columbine again, Fort Hood shooting. So we've analyzed those events and again tried to prepare our officers and our department to respond better if something like that should happen in our community. Over the last several years, we've conducted some of this active shooter training at our schools. We actually trained in the high school, the middle school, a couple of our grade schools. We trained here at City Hall one weekend. Again, thinking it's important for our officers not only to be trained in how to respond to these incidents, but to actually train in locations that actually have a high potential for something to happen. So our officers are familiar with the floor plan layout of these facilities, so I think that's really helped us be prepared to respond to something that should have occurred here. Now, of course, no one department can handle a mass shooting like this occurred at some of these other jurisdictions. And thankfully, we don't have to do that because we as a nation, as a state, as a county, have addressed this issue. And there's a number of ways that we have, a number of resources we have locally that we can draw upon to address these major incidents. One of the first things that we've been involved in since 9/11, which was a wake-up call, was training all our personnel in the NIMS system, the National Incident Management System, which was a national effort to standardize methods, procedures, communications among various public safety agencies that find themselves at a major incident. So we are all trained in this system. We have the SMART system here in Milwaukee County, the Suburban Mutual Assistance Response Teams, which is basically a mutual assistance program procedure that any community can call up a number of resources at different Milwaukee County police departments and the sheriff's department to request additional help for any event that overwhelms an individual jurisdiction's resources. Actually, we used the smart system on the Oak Creek incident and the Round Deer incident. Locally, in Franklin, our SWAT team has joined with the Greendale SWAT team and the former joint team so we can better address the more, put in quotes, run-of-the-mill tactical situations that may occur in our communities, and that's helped fill some resources gap in both our communities to be able to respond to these more major incidents. On a state level, I've been on the executive committee for a program called the ALERT program. It's the Aligned Law Enforcement Response Teams. It's basically regional SWAT teams made up of individual teams or combined teams, eight different teams spread out throughout the state that have and continue to receive specialized training and equipment to respond to these mass casualty type of situations. It's a grant funded through the OJA, and hopefully this year we're going to be getting close to implementing this program. But it's a great program. It's going to add a lot of resources available to smaller communities to respond to these major incidents that should be coming soon. Also, during the last 7 years, we've increased our weaponry and our response equipment and safety equipment so that we can be more efficient and effective in responding to these critical incidents. Regarding school safety, I do say, sit on the school safety committee, which meets on a regular basis to discuss school safety issues and protocols. We've worked with the schools in developing their own response protocols to critical incidents, including mass-type shootings. Matter of fact, as the mayor referenced, I had a meeting already scheduled with the superintendent and some of the staff, and some of my staff, to meet on Thursday morning to more or less review, again, some of the protocols and procedures, so make sure we're on the same page that something should occur in the schools and are well prepared. Again, I am confident that we are prepared to handle the major incident shouldn't occur in the city, especially in the school. Now, that being said, I will identify one gap that I believe there is at this time, and that's basically the lack of a police liaison officer position with the schools. As you probably know, for many, many years, we had a police school liaison officer at the high school and shared some time with middle school. And we did lose that position because of funding concerns. And that is a concern of mine. I think it is an asset to the school system to have a school liaison position. We're one of the few, if not the only, community in this area that does not have a school liaison position. Most of the communities have several. And something we can look at down the road to revisit.
I was on the finance committee so long and done so many budgets here, I can't recall. Was that funded by the school district? Or?
That was a 50-50 split between school and city.
Okay. Because I know that the police department was very very much interested in continuing that program. But.
We were interested. It was a school initiative to end the program as a funder. It's not the same. Again, that being said, having an armed officer at the high school and middle school does not guarantee that nothing will happen. It certainly does not protect the grade school, elementary schools. But I do think that does add a level of safety to our schools. I guess that's the general statement I have. I didn't want to get too in-depth and detailed regarding our methods, our procedures, our tactical responses, of course. That is sensitive, and we don't want to get into too much detail regarding that. But,
well, this might sound funny coming from a politician, but, you know, there's most areas, it's a lot better to rely on the trained, well-educated professionals. Jack Bennett, I may know how to build a bridge out of, if I had some crayons and something like that, and you put a couple of sticks here and all that, but Jack probably would build a bridge a whole lot better than I because he's a trained engineer. Keeping our schools safe, I think, is we should be listening to our law enforcement officers and our chiefs and those that are well-trained and have all the experience in that. School safety, people's safety is nothing to be experimented with through politics. That's why we have the people we have. Bob Donahue just said the other day that he believes we have one of the best fire departments, and I would say we have one of the best police departments as well. And it's true that salaries are maybe a little bit higher than some salaries up north, but we also have quality law enforcement officials that are in place that have shown time and time again that they can handle these things. So I'd also know that I think you were the chief of the chiefs for a while there. Yeah. I mean, I know that the chiefs get together, just like the fire chiefs, and they go over these types of things, but they like to keep it as confidential as possible because the last thing you want to do is share the information with the criminal. So, you know, I would open it up to the council members, but Chief and Gaylord, Adam, really do appreciate the fact that many times you go into harm's way, you have no idea what you're going to face when you get there, and that your staff that you have is really quite excellent. Alderman Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If I may, Mr. Mayor, Chief, about a dozen or 15 years ago, we transferred over the 800 megahertz trunk system for radios, and I understand now there's a transition going on with the county to digital. How are we doing on that? What's the budget situation? And how does that relate to the rest of the essentially zone departments? How are they, if you know?
We're moving along, and there has been budget appropriations and forecast planning for that transition. We're on track. I would say we're ahead of a lot of other departments, but we're all in the same situation, so we're all working for that transition.
Are the surrounding departments going to make, well, we would, if we were ahead of everybody, we would plan on maintaining both the analog and the digital system.
For a time being,
Alderman Schmidt.
It's interesting that you could bring up the reinstituting a liaison officer at the high school, because I was just thinking about the same thing. The occasional substitute teacher at Oak Creek High School. And I was thinking that every time I walk across the parking lot, there's always a police has a presence there at the school. So, this is a position then that a liaison is there for the entire day, or is it after school during the transition hours?
It's an entire day. That's his assignment, would be his assignment.
And do you know, like, you know, if there's a cost sharing involved in that thing?
I am not specifically aware. I know that most programs are across the board, anywhere from the city funding whole positions to schools funding whole positions and then joint sharing. So it's pretty much individual community decision.
Chief, do you know if there's been a risk assessment report? I was doing some Googling and some research on this, and it seems that there's a few consulting firms out there that do risk assessments of school districts.
Was one done here? Is that a question? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Not that I'm aware of. I'm not sure. We've done our own critical facility studies, and we have our own structures that we've identified in the city that we believe are critical, and we pay attention to, especially when there's information that there might be something to pay attention for. So we do that. We've done that internally. And we've done, again, we've assisted schools in developing their safety response. So there's been a bit of security review of those facilities internally, but we haven't brought anybody in from the outside there. We need the school, yes.
Okay. Just one last thing. This isn't intended towards Supervisor Taylor, because I don't think you were there at the time. But when I was a few years back, I was chairing the ICC meeting, the members, the municipalities throughout Milwaukee County were seriously contemplating suing Milwaukee County because many mental health patients were now showing up at the police departments, and the police departments were actually having to incarcerate these individuals. I know that there was some discussion with the chief judge and the county executive about trying to create a position between that. I haven't really seen anything come back on it that would be, I don't even know if you could put a title on it, but a person that would be responsible for the supervision or the maintenance between the court systems and the mental health patients. I told a reporter today that we have a one of the former deputy directors of the mental health facility that lives in our community, Dennis Amaturo. And I just happened to bump into him at one of the St. Martin's events, and I asked him how many mental health patients were at the mental health facility in its heyday. And I think he said something like 3,300 mental health patients. And I said, well, how many are there now? He said, it's a couple hundred. And I don't think that the environment for mental health patients has been such that it's reduced the number of mental health patients. I just think that more mental health patients are out there. And that seems to me that that's the issue that the nation needs to wrestle with, and the funding for those programs, and trying to minimize as much risk as possible to the kids in our school. How you go about that sounds like a job for to start with the Pentagon and then RAND think tanks. And actually, I think the president is working on that. I think he and the vice president are going to come back with some recommendations. But I know that you and some of the other chiefs were kind of involved in the discussions with the ICC regarding these mental health patients showing up at your doorstep. Has it got any better, worse?
Somewhat better and not totally. Like you referenced, I have not heard about this, any more about this plan to have someone look at the mental health issue in Milwaukee County. I was encouraged to hear that they were looking at it because it's surprisingly a big drain on police resources. Police dealing with mental health issues. Really is. People don't realize how many calls for service we get regarding this and time consuming. And you know, unfortunately, it's really not a law enforcement, shouldn't be a law enforcement issue, but it's thrown on our lap because we're really one of the few 24 hours of the day a week governmental operation, so we get called upon. Everybody else is home at bed. And really, I think those services should be available 24 hours because that's when most of it occurs. And a lot of, not all, but you know, there's a lot of issues, crime issues that are related to mental health issues. I think if, you know, when people start sometimes grandstanding, sometimes just wondering or saying what should we do about this or that, there's something that I think would be positively done if you could find a way to improve the services delivered to mental health. People need them.
Yeah, I was watching Judge Kramers, who's the chief judge from Milwaukee County, at the meeting we had at Hubbard Lodge, and the county executive was sitting right across from me, and everyone seemed to be pretty excited, including some of the law enforcement officers, but I haven't seen anything since that time. Okay. Any questions, comments? Thanks very much, Chief. Thanks, Gaylord. Adam. I gotta start calling you Chief, though, right? Okay, back to the regular order of things. You have in your packet, under letters of petition, an email from Robert Montgomery regarding man-made pond at 8666 South 116th Street. Mr. Montgomery, we met with him probably about 2 years ago, and I asked him that he should put his concerns in writing and maybe file a formal complaint, which I understand he did. this has been going on, this issue, since I guess, have been involved for over 2 years. The issue goes even further than that. It goes into maybe 5 or 6 years back, or 17 years, or 15 years or something, where the original DNR permit was granted, something like that. I'm looking at the city attorney because we were talking today. And the other reason I put this on the agenda, which I, as you know, I normally don't do this, but the raising, well, I know Mr. Montgomery, and I know that he was a physician at House of Correction and a high-ranking member of the military. He's a very serious person. He's well-educated. He knows what he's talking about, and he said that the five-acre pond is now flooding septic systems with cross-contamination of groundwater with bacterial, viral, parasitical, animal waste, and chemical containments. That's enough for me to bring it to your attention and bring it straight here. Health concerns, number one in the books. If there was any chance of any of this being true, I don't think any one of us would want to have the groundwater contaminated in any way, as a stretch or manner. And so I asked the Bill Worker to be here today to talk about the health issues, because you've been involved in it. Jack Bennett's been involved. Ron Romeis has been involved. The city attorney's been involved. So is Mr. Montgomery here? Alderman Olson?
Mr. Mayor, I've got an administrative question. If this has been going on for so long, why haven't we as a city done anything to enforce our own wetlands, enforce the permit that was pulled for this?
Well, as usual, the answer to that is pretty complex, but that's one of the reasons we're going to be here today. It's a matter of jurisdiction and who's in charge of what. There's also, you'll hear from Mr. Worker, that there's not answers been provided as to, in fact, whether there is a legitimate health concern or which septic systems are involved. So,
well, if a one-acre pond is now five, that should be easy to verify. And you know, rather than sit here and talk about it, I look to you, Mr. Mayor, as the chief operating officer of the city, and say, get your staff out there and get it fixed.
Staff has been out there, but I think you want to hear from the staff on this particular issue.
Okay.
It's septic systems, and there's the potential of contaminants getting into the groundwater. It doesn't get a whole lot more serious than that. So, city attorney?
I can just give council some brief information. Number one, I've been extremely peripherally involved in this. I think the fact of the matter is this might date back more than a year, but I returned to the office one day, heard from the assistant city attorney that a citizen had walked in to complain about pond expanding onto adjoining properties. And I recall back in the 90s, mid-90s maybe, being on the site with then Alderman Murray and engineering, as well as Lee Torgerson from the DNR, who was then the local rep. The whole subject matter came down to it being the city does not regulate or permit ponds. Let's say permit, I mean administer a permit for creating a pond or a man-made lake. That was solely within DNR jurisdiction, and I recall that's what occurred back in the 90s. So it's a DNR regulated creation, and whatever pond specifications are there were a result of the DNR approval granted back in the 90s. So I said that to the assistant city attorney. He said, well, that's what I said after the discussion, that this is a DNR matter. So I said, well, follow up with engineering staff, because apparently there was some mention that engineering was looking at it. And frankly, engineering spent a substantial amount of time, overtime, roughly, I asked Mr. Romeis yesterday, and the guesstimate is well over 100 hours on it, because frankly, staff was looking at whether or not there's a local issue, whether or not there's any local enforcement availability. From here and there, I'd get a phone call, and amongst nine other things, the city engineer would say, why don't you take care of this? And I said, it's being taken care of. It's a PNR issue. And that was my simple understanding, and I confirmed that with the assistant, and he checked back with engineering. Engineering was working up all the details to get it to DNR. I understand from engineering yesterday that that was submitted to DNR last August for any enforcement by DNR, based on what I understand to be the case, that this permitted pond has substantially increased in size, and that DNR is still reviewing the situation. I also was aware of this email that I received a copy of a week ago Wednesday, I believe, and that it would be on the council agenda. Mr. Wookerer met with him also. This was all set up with the assistant city attorney. And Mr. Wookerer said that he had made informational and access requests to determine exactly the concerns cited by the mayor in this email, whether or not there's some form of public health concern arising from this situation. And he said that he has been unable to receive any information in response to his requests. And outside of that, he has zero information or knowledge that there is any health concern arising from this situation for the area properties. So that being said, the meeting yesterday was with the public health officer, the city engineer, the assistant city engineer, and the assistant city attorney. And we again reviewed the regulatory process on this, and that it's a DNR permit. And the thought was just to follow up with DNR. It's a DNR permit. Also on the email, there was a question as to, at the end, why area fill cannot be used on adjoining properties. And engineering did review the files, and there was some, and the assistant city engineer can correct me if I'm wrong on this paraphrasing, there was some informal discussion. Obviously, if there's wetland involved, you can't fill in a wetland, can't fill in a floodway, can't fill in a swale. It's not abundantly clear that any of those prohibited filling areas are involved where adjoining property owners might wish to fill. And the city engineer would say that generally, absent those impediments, the permit would be issued. So that might be an available response here also, that adjoining property owners might want to apply for a fill permit on their own properties. And that's pretty much the short sum and substance of the situation.
I guess I wanted to bring to your attention, too, is that what I'm finding out is that, well, it's not finding out, it's that it's reminding me that, like, back in 2006, people along 116th Street were all surveyed as to whether they wanted to be hooked up to the Monticello Gardens Development Sanitary Sewer. Need not have waited for a new sewer. Sewer has been available since at least 2006. I noticed that you're nodding that you understand that, because I think one of the hookups is near St. Martin of Tours. The parish of Keith are the people that decided to either vote for or vote against having the sanitary sewer hooked up to that area. As a result of this, I really didn't know that. In fact, I have Mr. Montgomery's report that he and his wife at that time were against hooking up to the sewer. But sewer has, in fact, been available for a long time. But as a result of this, and also found out that there's other places in the city that have been surveyed as to whether they wanted sewer or did not want sewer, and in some cases they said no. One of them, I think, is around Hawthorne Lane. Alderman Solomon is probably familiar with that. And then there was Briarwood, where the people, they had a lot of discussion back and forth about that, and when it was all said and done, I guess after three or four votes, it was decided that put the sewer in. So this whole issue of sanitary sewers and septic systems is not a new subject for the city. For a number of you that have been sitting on this council, you know that. But like me, I saw the stuff. It really had not a lot of meaning at the time I saw it when I was an alderman. Now things are coming more into perspective. And so for the newer members of the council, I think it's important that you understand that, in fact, people could have been hooked up to sewer in many parts of the city, but elected not to do so. Alderman Willow?
Well, I think this is the area that would be pretty difficult to hook up to the sewer at, because there's nothing real close. Even the new Ryan Creek Interceptor doesn't come out anywhere near where we could hook up to it. If it's the area that I'm thinking about, which is over by Alvin Skronsky's home. I do remember this being an issue. I do remember these people not being supportive of this permit long before I was in office. I have a couple of questions. Does the person who dug the pond still own the property? And has anyone been able to contact him? Okay. And then that was a nod, yes, just for those people that are listening to the tape or whatever. And then I was wondering if it's been verified if the pipe that says it's been crushed in this letter, if we've verified if the drainage pipe has been crushed, and if not, or if it has been, either way, where does the pipe or where does the output of this pond supposed to flow to, and is it flowing properly, or do we need to do something with the outflow?
We do not have any plans. Not unusual with drain tile. They were put in by farmers. It does not record where the drain tile flows. So our understanding is that and we had a technician that wrote a report back. The pond was built in 1994, without a permit, and there was a complaint on it. So after the pond was dug, then they got a permit, both from the Corps of Engineers and DNR in 1995. We think this drains towards Mud Lake. It does not drain into 116th Street, which makes it difficult. It drains from one property to the next property to the next property, generally south, and then heads southwest and gets across 116th Street into Mud Lake. Our understanding is the broken drain tile is under the pond, so it's not something that you can get to or see. You'd have to pump the pond down to get to the drain tile, because the drain tile, now the pond has covered over where the drain tile was. We do not know where the drain tile goes. We kind of assume that probably goes into what we call farm drain number 6 that was put in by the county through assessment, a joint assessment to Muskego and Franklin, and I believe the 40. It is partially blocked, although it's open on this
side.
So
is this a situation of making the property owner put in another outflow, because it says the pond's drainage was crushed, and if you're telling me the pond drainage is underneath the expansion of the pond, it sounds like to me it needs another outflow, so I don't know.
Ron,
it sounds like
you could actually witness there is an outfall pipe that's exposed. It's a 12-inch PVC pipe that receives the water, reaches a certain level, and then carries that water, as Jack said, to the south. So there is a pipe, you can see it, and that's where, you know, the water
question is, and I think it's apparent that that pipe probably doesn't have the capacity in high water times to pump. Actually, what's happening out there is not unlike a design pond that we've got.
Right. For
dozens
stormwater.
Of hundreds
right.
of here in the city, similar, except this wasn't formally designed. And there it is. Why is the water line, you know, raised to, you know, to certain levels, extreme wet periods. But there is indeed a pond, that's, a pipe, and that pipe is the ongoing outfall for that pond.
And
there's more, but...
And does that ongoing outfall need to be placed somewhere else or directed somewhere else?
Strategically, it's in a solid place. The high water outfall is really a question. When you get extreme wet periods, rain, extreme rains and such, that wasn't the case last summer. This never became really a factor at all. But in other summers, other years, the water level, you know, the amount of rain just raises the pond. And that's the time when that 12-inch pipe is working at full max, but that's not enough. And so now we need a spillway, if you will. Mm-hmm. And you have to look for a route. And in this case, the problem is we don't have any public routes to go to. As Jack indicated, 116th Street's higher than the pond elevation. There are some outfall directions to the south. Then you're introducing water that for 17 years never went that way, you know, the high water. You could go to the west. It's desirable because you could be in our land over there, but you'd have to pipe underneath 116. Some real complicators in terms of the right to spill water and the cost of the bay. It's a complex matter.
Well, it sounds like we've got the right guy on it. You really have given me a pretty good understanding of what it is, and it's working on it, right? Is that with the property owner? So.
Right. Okay. Understand this, too. I met the mayor and Mr. Montgomery last spring, and I was introduced to this, my introduction to this, and I was asked to look into the matter. So I called the DNR agent, an engineer. I said, what do you have on this? What's the year on it? Because I wasn't around when this was done. And he says, our files go way back. I mean, you know, that'll be really buried, you know, 17 years ago. He said the most expeditious way to do it is, fortunately, you're going to have to study it. And then why don't we sit down? We did that in August, and that's when I transferred the information to the DNR.
Ron, not to say that the city is, I mean, there's some things in the message that the author seems to believe that the city is responsible for these allegations. If, in fact, the city was, and I'm not saying that the city is, but if it was found that the city had to correct the situation, given that 116th Street is higher and given that it's surrounded by wetlands, it's a pretty expensive proposition. Billions? Hundreds of thousands?
In the order of 50,000. That order.
Okay. I mean, that's another reason I wanted to bring it here. The other thing is, I think it was Jack or you said that the flowage is going to towards Mud Lake. So,
well, that whole area, that's the general.
So if in fact any of these allegations were correct, and I asked Mr. Worker about this, you could have a situation where you've got chemicals and waste flowing into natural waterways that are pretty pristine, right? And then I don't know a thing about this, but it seems to me that there's also EPA regulations that if parties are found to be in violation of this, there's extreme penalties assigned to them.
It could be Corps of Engineers.
Yeah. So, again, that's I don't normally bring these things to the council, but I wanted you to be aware of it. And by the way, Mr. Montgomery requested from all of you to place this on the agenda. Alderman Olson. I know him.
Dr.
Right.
Looking at the Google Earth, it seems to me that this pond, first of all, has no aeration, so it's nothing but an algae jet. This picture is taken. also appears, and this is Ken's district, so I don't want to jump into his stuff here, but it also appears that the migrating wetlands to the north is causing wetlands to occur in the north on the northern properties. So I'd like to know where the DNR is on this. I mean, are they doing anything? Are they working with us?
Skorowski's right there. You dumped the stuff, Ken?
Ron?
The DNR is aware, very much aware of the game. And as of telephone calls even yesterday and today, I'm still waiting for a response. I wanted it for tonight's meeting, I didn't get it. And that's disappointing, but I believe that they are pursuing this.
Well, if you look at that map, that aerial view, the Wonkas are now impinging on at least two other properties that are not theirs. And it appears that the Montgomerys are getting the benefit of a new wetland on the back end, on the west end or east end of their property. So, it'd be great if we got response from the state and the feds like we get on little stuff on this thing. And that was a sarcastic way of saying they had to jump on this like this, like they beat up our developments. So, thank you.
Alderman Taylor?
Well, I've listened to the last 10 or 15 minutes or so trying to figure out why it's before us. I mean, I understand it's one of our residents have asked us, but I agree with Alderman Olson. I mean, this is not a city issue. This is a DNR state issue that they should be getting involved in. For some reason, the state likes to get involved in other areas that I've been aware of recently, and I've kind of made the point that they ought to maybe start cleaning up the DOT and the DNR, because that's a problem, with the job creation and development and that. But anyways, not to get too far off the subject. I'm glad this is before us, but at the end of the day, that's the agency that needs to take care of this. I'm not sure what we can do. We could write some nasty letter saying clean this up, and it sounds like it's Dr. Montgomery has some real concerns, some valid concerns. I just don't know if we're going to sit here and solve anything for the next 20 minutes hashing this back and forth. I think, we have staff that is aware of it, the city attorney's aware of it, and we should, move on and let them kind of proceed. And at least it's been brought to our attention. But, I guess maybe turn to the all of the district to see what he wants to do on this.
He's pulling his boat in his backyard.
I will have to step off the bench. I'm right in the middle of everything here, so.
So I would just say that we let staff deal with this and we move on.
I do think you want to hear from Bill Worker, though, regarding the staff has been working on this for some time, and that's, as the city attorney said. But I've asked you to investigate this, and you've been out there. And
yes, Mr. Mayor.
What's your findings?
My findings, Mr. Mayor, are to briefly reiterate what the city attorney has said is I cannot verify that there have been a communicable disease, an infectious bacteria, protozoa, or viruses in this area. The disease species themselves are reportable in the event that any physician from any of those residents would have examined and tested the individuals in those households. The disease type would be reportable to me as the local health officer. Doing a look back, I found no cases of these reportable diseases in these residents. The assertion is that there are elderly and newborns that are ill. I've three times asked Mr. Montgomery to specify the individuals, their address, and three times he's not responded to my request. I've asked him to the best of his knowledge, if any of the wells or the septic systems are malfunctioning. He has not responded to my requests. I've asked him if he's sick or if his septic system or if his well is not functioning, and he's refused to respond to my request.
Okay. Alderman Wilhelm, why don't you put this map up on the screen over there?
Well, I guess this question is for Ms. Worker. Are you able to talk to the other neighbors and ask them if they're having problems?
I certainly could, But at this point, and I received his certified letter and his complaint on or about December 10th.
Okay.
So in this last couple of weeks, I've made my efforts specific to the complainant to give me some direction or substantiation, verification, anything relative to his assertions.
Well, it seems like since most of the water's on other people's properties, you go to the other people who would probably gladly invite you out there to make sure that their health and safety is not in jeopardy. That seems to be a step that I would think you could easily do. And I guess I know that the sewage district is aware of this property because they have tried to buy some of this land just because of this flooding issue. I know there's been some discussion that this isn't completely a city issue, but I think the DNR is going to need our guidance to make this happen. For one thing, even if the DNR tells them to go put in a pipe, they're going to have to probably come to the city to get a permit through the city, so it's not like the city can wash their hands of this whole thing. So I think we're just doing the right thing, keeping staff involved, and have them continue on with the DNR. And I think if you can get access to the other properties and verify it that way, then if he doesn't care if his health is in danger, at least we can give the other people the confirmation that everything's safe on their end, and then we're covered on that.
Alderman Solomon and Mr. Dunnett.
We have to remember that if those septic tanks are failing, they're not going to come forward. It's going to cost them a whole lot of money to fix it. Huge amount. The next scenario would be, should the city regulate man-made sewers? We do for subdivisions. We have access to those ponds, where the outfall is checked and maintained and looked at by the city in these subdivisions for the stormwater management ponds. This is not unlike that at all. He just went and did this with the DNR and whomever else he needed permission to get it done. He never came to the city. Should we have some type of guarantee that those things can be checked? I mean, you get out here, you got a pond, you got a pipe. Jack says the pipe isn't large enough. Well, what if there's a beaver nest over there? You got to get the beavers out of there. We've had those in the past within the stormwater management ponds that we have now. So shouldn't we be having some type of regulation to at least get access in these? In other words, a right-of-way as we move forward, so it doesn't happen again.
Mr. Bennett and Alderman Olson.
Kind of really engineering simple solution would be there's kind of a swale that comes down here, and one could get an easement and for probably a very nominal cost build a swale down here. But then what you end up, you transfer this water, there's another indentation, you can kind of see it, another hole here. You probably end up filling that up with water.
Right.
And then that flows down this direction finally comes around to Mud Lake is down in this area. The other one that Ron was talking about is you could run a pipe against grade back. There's a drainage way that comes down through here and through the DNR properties. That would get it away from everybody, and it would end up to be on state property, which probably wouldn't be a bad thing to do. But you're costing maybe, close to $50,000 to get the drainage down. So, the problem is, it would be easy to solve if we had a budget and we had the money and we had the cooperation from everybody in the area.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
Yeah.
Alderman Olson and Alderman Wilbur.
Well, every time we do a development, we always write in the development agreement that the developer's responsible for his own water.
Yep.
Well, here we got a guy that dug a 1-acre pond ostensibly on his own property. But now, I would say a majority of it is on four other property owners' property, and he still only has a one-acre pond. How does that work? You know, people would be all over me if my water was on their property, right, Ron? I don't see how this guy can get away with it, nor would I want my constituents to pay for his problem. There's got to be a way through legal or state function to make him fix this problem. And it costs him money, not us. I'm not going to be sitting there in 3 months, but there's two candidates out there. I wouldn't vote to have city taxpayers pay for this.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I think if there's a health issue, though, we sort of have somewhat of an obligation to make sure their health and safety is...
So Dr. Montgomery can sue the Blavatnikovs.
And I do agree that the owner that's causing the problem should be addressed first on fixing it. However, if he doesn't... is not willing to come up with the money and not willing to fix it, do we just ignore it and let it continue on? Or do we find a way to fix it ourselves and then bill him and find a way to legally... get reimbursed? Maybe that's an option. But, Mayor, I do want to address one thing that I've heard a couple different times, and it was said again tonight. There was a time previous when I talked about districts, my district having flooded in the basements, and I asked people to contact me. And 19 people that did get part of that FEMA notification were flooded, and when I brought that up, I was told that now I've just caused all these people to have all this money problems, and they should have never came forward. Well, it was said that we're going to have people here that will not come forward if they have sewage problems and that. Well, I can tell you, if it was a matter of putting my family in jeopardy and having to drink sewage water or something out of the well, I would sell my property before I would not come forward on a health issue. So it disturbs me when I hear comments that people aren't going to say anything. Because I think most people really care about their families more than they care about the financial issues of it. And I would think that people will be upfront and honest, and I would hope they would do the right thing for their families. So I need to make that point, because I disagree with that opinion strongly.
Well, I'm very happy I did bring it here, because as you see, this is not a simple solution. I don't know that the city... is obligated to do things. However, I would agree with Alderman Wilhelm if there was, in fact, a danger, that there was a health risk or that there was endangerment, then I think that the council may want to move in a direction to rectify that potential harm. And then you'd have to bill the party that, that created it. But the taxpayers, if this is not a city issue, should not be paying for these things. And right now you're throwing out $50,000. It probably, we all know that $50,000 grows to $100,000 and then more and more and more. Yeah. And then this is one example of a situation. How many other types of examples will we have coming forward?
Well, and I'm just going to add that. That's the point I'm going to make, is I could talk about issues in my district that are of concerns. And, you know, monetary for people's properties because of drainage, because of subdivisions that were put in that have dumped in someone's backyard. Now, I absolutely agree. This is not our responsibility to have taxpayers pay for this. However, if we need to get involved and somehow assess the person responsible, that's another issue. And I'd be fully supportive of that if the state's going to drag their feet, which we obviously know they can drag their feet. And so I think... to be clear, you know, this is a slippery slope that once we do this on this issue, watch the floodgates, because guess what? I'll have a half a dozen here coming in, properties coming in asking for the same thing. So if we're going to do this, now we're starting to get into really civil matters where you really should have one property owner suing another one and let the courts decide. That's what should go on, frankly. Thank you, Your Honor.
It seems to me that you have a golf course down there that on occasion when it rains, it spills, floods neighborhoods.
Correct.
Okay, I think we as a city got the direction that we need to move forward with this. My understanding is the DNR person is going to contact you tomorrow. And I heard the person was sick.
Nice.
Just one more caution. I think, particularly in the southwest part of the community, we're going to see more problems like this. Not so much that people are blocking drain tile, but it really isn't an active farming community anymore. Farmers aren't maintaining the old drain tiles. They are going to start collapsing. They have collapsed in some cases. Fortunately, there's not a lot of people living down there. It's not high density anything. But I think we're going to see more of these problems, and they may just be naturally occurring, that a drain tile that's 50, 60, 100 years old, you know, may just finally collapse.
The installers may not even be around.
Yeah, and people don't even know they're there. Yeah. And all at once, we start having water ponding where it's never ponded before. So this, I think, will continue to happen more and more as this area ages until it's developed, because farmers aren't putting money into the land because they are really probably speculating now that someday it's going to be developed, and why should they spend a lot of money on drain tile and drainage? Even drainage ways are silting up and becoming not as effective. So I think we're going to see more problems in the undeveloped part of the community as time goes on, because they are just not being maintained. And these are all off-road, nothing that the city has any access to whatsoever. But this is going to happen more and more as time goes on, at least in my opinion.
Well, and I, like I've said, I've learned more about sewers than I ever wanted to know. But it seems to me that prior to 83, there were a lot of rigid rules in place for the state of Wisconsin as to people putting in septic systems, and nor was there this checks and balances that now exist, nor was the EPA as ambitious about enforcement of these types of issues. I did go to that conference down in Racine with the mayors, and the EPA was there, and what I got out of that is they do not find these types of issues humorous at all if, in fact, there's waste or chemicals going into groundwater. So I don't know what the penalty is on the first offense, but I know it's pretty significant. So I agree with you, Jack. I think we're going to run into this more and more, and I think the difference between Franklin and other communities, I should have listened to you a long time ago, was it's clay soil that we have out here. You can have septic systems in other parts, and Hubertus comes to mind, or Two Rivers or something like that, and everything works great. In Franklin, some of these older systems probably should have never been granted in the first place, but there were no rules or regulations in place, so people were grandfathered in. So anyhow, I think we got it. Thank you. Appreciate it. Item 2, resolution expressing substantial concerns to the City of Franklin to the decision by Milwaukee County Transfer Supervisory Authority, Milwaukee County Correctional Facility South, from the Office of the Sheriff of Milwaukee County to Milwaukee County. I don't know who wants to. City Attorney, you want to take the lead?
Only that the resolution was prepared for the prior direction of the Common Council and following a meeting on December 13th of the Community Safety Response Task Force. At the task force meeting, which was chaired by the Chief of Police, it was repeatedly stated by those having experience in working with and communicating with persons at administering as well as overseeing the operation of what used to be the House of Correction, that there was a substantial, serious concern with regard to safety for not only the City of Franklin, but the surrounding communities, and also that the local costs and concerns which arose during prior escape. is a major concern. And since the office of the sheriff has been overseeing the supervision of the correctional facility south, as it's now called, and since that facility has been changed somewhat in terms of persons that it houses, as described in the resolution, that concern remains substantial. It is the same, though there have been such occurrences, and since the sheriff's office has been supervising, and also the resolution refers to prior federal corrections agency reports, first being the review prior to the transfer of supervisory authority, and then also the report about 1 year after transfer of supervisory authority and how successful it was.
Alderman Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I commend you, Jesse, on the work you've done, as usual, and thanks for calling me and asking me for my input. I appreciate that. I got a couple of stylistic things, Jesse, and I apologize for not doing this via email like we usually do. Under the third whereas, we've got a closed quote but no opening quote. So I assume that the first quotation mark goes before the word sheriff. And I would put a line between that and the paragraph above. I would ask that we include in the last whereas on the next page, on the last line of the last whereas where it says fully necessary to protect the health, safety, and welfare, I would respectfully ask that we put in the word comfort, fully necessary to protect the health, safety, comfort, and welfare. Because part of the issue here is the ease in the emotional sense that the neighbors feel living near that facility. And then I would also ask that in the final resolve, we add Milwaukee County Sheriff. And that would be my changes, and I would move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any objections? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, six ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries. And now I'll turn to item three, representation at South Suburban Chamber of Commerce annual awards dinner and request to transfer $400 from contingency account. Craig Haskins is here tonight. I have been to many of these, almost all of them, I guess, in the last quite a few years. I was just telling Alderman Olson that I think I basically just take out my checkbook and write a check for this. But I think it's very important that the representatives from the city of Franklin, especially economic development of people, are present at these functions. Our sister city sometimes has two and maybe three tables. Maybe at five.
Last year they had, I think, all but one alderman, the mayor, city administrator.
Right. And I just think it's very important. It's a it's normal, customary business just about anywhere, I think, in other municipalities for this type of funding mechanism. We do have some funds that I believe are set aside in the alderman's budget for boards and commissions. Mr. Gilbert?
Correct. In addition to contingency, the alderman budget line board and commissions expenditures has $650 appropriated in it.
So, Alderman Olson?
I don't get heartburn either way on this 400 flex. During my term on economic development, when there was such a dinner, and it was either an awards banquet for the chamber in December or whatever, my recollection is that the economic development commission went paid their own, but that was because of the way they were, not because of the city not funding it. There was funds available at the time. It was administered differently. I said it before on many occasions in many different times, I don't think it's fair to ask our private citizens to fund their volunteer efforts for the city. Should we send aid? Should we do whatever?
So I don't get a heartburn either way. If they want to pay their own way, I'd be real happy for that. But I would not object to the 400 bucks.
Mr. Askins, do you want to come up and don't have to suspend the regular order of business, you know, given that you, you're the one who pushed
it? Mr. Mayor, excuse me.
Yes.
I would not object to the $400 provided they don't sit at the table, talk to themselves, get up and leave.
In other words, yes, mingle and try and do some business, right? Mr. Haskins?
Yeah, we have no problem paying our own way.
Can I interrupt you? Could you please state your name and address for the record?
Craig Haskins, currently at 5444 West Harvard in Franklin. May have sold the house.
You're only 2 months to
May have. It takes a little while. But no, we bring this to your attention last year. We have a liaison to the chamber who attended, paid his own way, mingled around, and did his thing. It was brought to our attention that other cities, specifically Oak Creek, sends a zillion people. And it would be nice if we could fill a table of eight, six of you, seven of you, eight of you, however. I'll sit by myself if I have to. I would like to note that five of the six award finalists are Franklin businesses. So I think it's pretty important that we have a good representation there. So I couldn't care less about the 50 bucks to feed them, but I do think it's important to be there.
Alderman Wilden?
I'm just wondering what the RSVP process is so we can let them know as soon as possible, which Alderman might not be going, so they would have the opportunity. Do you know, Craig, what that would be?
They have plenty of room for us. I've kind of told them in advance that we might need a table. They said that should be no problem, but if you could let Joel know. I think Joel and I are coordinating a little bit with this. So
okay.
If you approve eight people, let's figure out how many, six or seven of you want to go, or and then we'll fill it with people from our community.
Alderman Skraski, you've been quiet.
Yeah, I don't see any problem with that. I think it's money well invested in it. As Alderman Olson and myself and yourself, Mayor, and a lot of others have been there. It's good business. You mix, you mingle, you talk. It's good for economic development. And it's a point of where this is business. We're connecting business here. And if we want to be in a business mode, this is what you do to conduct business. So I'd make a motion to approve the $400, and the chamber will bill the city, so there's no money or anything. All they need is the names to put name tags and get on with it.
Second, Your Honor.
It's been moved and seconded. Alderman Solomon, Alderman Taylor.
Just to make it known, I've been to these in the past. They work, do a good job with them. I will not be attending this one, so
may I have the salad? I'll tell you. Alderman Olson.
I intend on going, but I will not count the 28 unless somebody else.
Okay. Alderman Taylor?
Well, I would just say that I second the motion, obviously. I've been to everyone since I've been in office, and I think it's been a valuable experience. I think we've been able to build some relationships, and that's what it's about. I mean, it's making our businesses that in our community know that they feel welcome. It's just like the event that we had for the party we had for the business appreciation. I mean, if you get the feedback, if you were there, you would know that they stuck on longer than most people could imagine. So I think these are the types of things that we need to do. I've gone to every single one. I plan on attending. I just think that if we just let maybe, I don't know if it's what the proper way, but let people know. So if there's eight people, use all the spots, basically. If Alderman Solomon's not going to be there, that's another position for a Frank member. If Alderman Olson's saying he's not going to foot the bill, now that's another one. So you got three. So, you know, I plan on being there. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. You went Alderman Solomon? Did you just spoke? All right, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussions? Seeing none. Wait, I have one more. That's that. There should maybe be a timeline for the Alderman to try and get some names to Craig if they're going to be in attendance or not. Or Joel.
By the end of the week?
To Joel, yeah.
By the end of the week.
And that way the other members of the Ford Franklin Committee can attend. All right. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Thanks, Craig.
Thank you.
Donation from Sandra Young in the amount of $100 to the fire department.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of special use for a gasoline service station, convenience store, and car wash use upon property located at approximately 10750 West Speedway Drive. I think the alderman probably got the same letters that I did, but I received a letter in support from Menards and a letter from Gus from Gus's Mexican Cantina, and as well as Hiller Ford, all in support of the project. Alderman Skaronski.
I'd like to make the motion to adopt resolution number 2013, and whatever number Joe's going to fix into it, resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of the special use for a gasoline service station, convenience store, and car wash use upon property located in approximately 10750 West Speedway Drive, known as Quick Trip Incorporated, is the app.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Wilmer.
I'm just wondering if staff is comfortable with the traffic flow given the multiple uses and the connections.
So far, yes. And hard to say forever we'll be comfortable. But we didn't think that the Quick Trip by itself would cause too many problems. Okay. It was the trucking that we had concerns with, and they removed that aspect. So.
Okay, thank you.
Alderman Olson.
If I'm anything, I'm consistent about voting no. I think this is, I'll just respectfully disagree with Joel. It's going to be a nightmare.
Okay. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
No.
Five ayes, one no. Ayes have it. Motion carried. Resolution conditionally approving a two-lot outlot certified survey map being a division of lots 2, a certified survey map 7721 being part of southeast one quarter of the northeast one quarter, section 6 and part of southwest one quarter, the northwest one quarter of section 5, all in town 5 north, range 21 east, in the city of Franklin, Milwaukee County, Wisconsin. Is there a motion to approve? Alderman Skaronski.
A motion to adopt resolution number, the resolution conditionally approving a two outlot certified survey map being a division of lot 2 and 3, a certified survey map number 7721 being a part of the southwest one quarter of the northwest one quarter of section 6 and part of the southwest one quarter of the northwest one quarter of section 5, all in the town 5, north range 21 east, in the city of Franklin, County of Milwaukee, State Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Menards Incorporated, in parentheses, approximately 10750 West Speedway Drive.
Second.
To move and seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Wilhelm, Alderman Olson, Alderman Solomon.
Well, I think Alderman Solomon's going to bring up the issue about the multiple lots, so I'll let him address that. I had a question regarding the time frame of the CSM. Reading through the resolution, it's clear to me that they have to have certain things done prior to the CSM. It's clear to me that it can be rejected if they don't do those things within 180 days. It's clear to me that the clerk is responsible for the CSM within applicable laws and ordinance, but it's unclear to me what the time frame of that CSM is when it needs to be recorded. There's nothing in
there. Mr. Deal?
Our ordinance has time frames in its base necessity statute. Time frames within which council has to recommend decisions one way or another, and the planning commission, and I believe the council's expiration date is next month, the middle of next month. So that's one of the deadlines. There's a 30-day deadline for the CSM to be recorded after, if it's approved by the council. Standard operating procedure would be we meet those time frames. Staff does whatever it takes to meet those time frames if it's approved, and all the following conditions of approval just follow along after.
Okay, so it's my understanding that they have 180 days, which is written in here, to comply with everything they need to do prior to the CSM. From that 180 days, they have another 30 days to get it recorded.
30 days from when it's approved by the council.
30 days from when it's approved by a council, but then they have 180 days to comply with the things they need on the CSM? That doesn't make any sense.
I would believe that those are the technical conditions of the CSM. So, one of the conditions we have is other easements as required. that's Milwaukee County won't care about that. Those are separate documents. That's city issues. Those, the time frame will be whatever the city wants.
So they can actually record the CSM prior to having these things that are under the 180-day requirement? And then and it could change the CSM?
Possibly, yeah.
Well, that doesn't make much sense. And who's going to actually oversee that process? I see this is where we end up having things fall through the cracks, is that process right there.
It's always possible, but the most common issues are the easements, and those are important in engineering, so they do follow up.
I would be a lot more comfortable if there would be something laid out discussing that CSM process, but it tying this into this time frame. It's not clear at all. It's not clear to the people that need to record it. It's not clear to staff. It's not clear to the person who's developing. I don't know. But.
Again, most of it is in the state statutes, so
and I'm sure everyone is going to pull out the state statutes and read them for days trying to find the answer to that. Why don't we just put it in here? Wouldn't make sense.
If the council wishes.
I guess I would have to ask the city attorney the most appropriate way to insert it into the document, because I wouldn't know how to legally put that in there.
The city attorney.
We'll just reference applicable statutory and or municipal code requirements for recording. All conditions within the resolution would have to be met before it's recorded, because the clerk and the mayor would not sign off on the resolution until the conditions have been met, and they're advised by planning and engineering as to whether or not those conditions have been met, and do not receive the actual CSM for signature and traveling to the courthouse until it's hand-delivered by those departments after all the conditions have been met, which is the way it's been going on forever.
Well, then I guess I would just ask that they make a motion a second, add in there that the city attorney review the last be it finally resolved paragraph so it complies with that situation.
Alderman Skrasky? Does it sound feasible to you?
Yeah, I don't know. That's no problem. It's technical stuff.
Taylor was the second.
I think it can be accomplished without tripping over each other. I think it can be. I know the owner of the property and the new business wants to do it. I think everybody's willing to move forward on it and get it done and move on with it. I'll accept that.
Okay. So you had your hand up. Anything
else that you wanted? No, I think it's fine. If there's any question, the representative of the Quick Trip is here, and I'm sure he can answer for himself.
Alderman Olson or Alderman Sullivan?
Were I to be running for this position again, I would be right now providing some flyer material. I'm going to support this. It seems out of character because I voted against the entire development, but this is an administrative matter. It has nothing to do with development per se, and I always believe that we always build too small. We always designate too small of outlines to allow proper development. So I will vote for this. And Alderman Solomon's got a great point about the accuracy of the map.
Mm-hmm. Alderman Solomon.
Page 57. If you look at the CSM and 58 and 59, you need it.
Which is it?
57.
I got it.
All three of the maps.
All three of the maps. We've got a lot one, a lot two, a lot one, and a lot four. Something ain't going to look very good on that CSM. Okay. Thank you.
All right, got a motion on the floor. It's been seconded with the additional language that was suggested by Alderman Wilhelm, agreed by Alderman Skrowski, and the second was Alderman Taylor. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, six ayes, no nos. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Reschedule Common Council meetings for February 19th, 2013, Committee of the Whole. Common Council meetings for April 1st and 2nd, 2013.
Right.
There's no objection. Is there a motion to approve?
Do we really need to
get to do April 1st? This is a game.
I would say.
Alderman Olson.
Well, yeah. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying. Do we really need to reschedule these? Because all of the Schmidt's running on the post, so anything controversial will have no impact on him. We're leaving. It's Sandy's the only one with the issue here. And
option not to make a motion. Okay. Legal action is needed. Then.
Dump the motor.
And that's going to apply for February's primary and April's spring election.
So everything seems. Say that again.
Nothing changes.
I just am clarifying that it relates to both elections, not just a primary.
Okay. So the dates are staying the same, just as they are.
A little bit awesome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Sure.
Knowing the political nature of this body and the history of this body, we aren't going to be ending on those agendas anyway, so it's not going to be a big meeting.
Yeah.
And
so it's
let's run away.
Let's record it.
Well, I was wondering if sometimes the clerk's office uses this room, so that's a little bit of a concern. Mm-hmm.
Madam Clerk, then Alderman Taylor.
The poll workers and the voters like this room. They like the flow of the room. But these are going to be smaller elections, and nobody really has ever complained about the use of the hearing room, so we can use the hearing room. Or we can flip-flop it if it's a problem, but I wouldn't change it.
400 people voting on the night.
Right.
And 1,200.
Alderman Taylor.
There could be a binding referendum question that's going to make people go to the polls. Who knows? But however,
this may not be big enough.
I'm going to be in the poorhouse. I'll be in the poorhouse here soon enough. But anyways, the one good thing about us not moving the April election to that Monday is you won't hear me 5 minutes in saying us to get moving because the NCAA basketball championship game is on that Monday, and I always hate that we're stuck here because we moved it to the Monday of the election. So I'm very fine with leaving it the way it is.
And that is committee of the whole.
Which
eliminated.
So you might be whining in.
No, because there'll be nothing on that agenda.
Just eliminated.
Trust me.
Okay. That was good. We're going to take no action. Item H, license committee.
Yes. Mr. Mayor, I'm going to hand this over to someone that's going to be around.
Did he handle those?
You're going to come in and read these when you're done.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Bouchette, Nora,
Chair
hold, approve, approve for appearance. She didn't show. Dodge, Amy, approve. Carr, Jocelyn, approve.
All right, is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. You have before you a list of vouchers dated January 8th, 2013.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Smith.
Aye.
Alderman Stern.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. You have before you the net payroll of December 28th, 2012. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved. Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skaronski.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman
Sure. Six ayes, no noes. I have it. Motion carries. Your motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. We are adjourned.
Welcome.